May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. When we look at the great inventions of humanity, we often find that there is a common desire behind most of them. Often, the desire for more efficiency, or the desire to do things which have a wide impact on a worldly scale, drives the invention of many good things. Today, we'll be looking at the series of parables about the Kingdom of Heaven, and we will explore how the Kingdom of Heaven can work efficiently at all when it relies upon people like you and me. Christians spread out all over the world and somewhat loosely connected in the form of different churches, house groups, or denominations. And we will look at how all this has an impact on the worldly scale. So to begin with, we really need to understand what the expression Kingdom of Heaven means and what relevance it really has in a Christian's life. Well, the short answer is that the Kingdom of Heaven is a Christian's only true home. It is the establishment of this kingdom which a Christian earnestly desires. Why, you might ask? Well, because the Kingdom of Heaven is the spiritual realm over which God reigns as King, and at the same time, it is also the fulfillment of God's will here on earth. The kingdom and everything it stands for has three aspects of time to it: the aspect of the past, the present, and the future. The past, because the Kingdom of Heaven was already partly realized on earth through Jesus' life and ministry. The present, because the Kingdom of Heaven is partly realized today, and that is through the life and ministry of the Church. And of course the future, because the Kingdom of Heaven will be fully realized at Jesus' second coming, when He establishes His eternal kingdom once and for all. So in a way, I would say that knowing about this future aspect of the Kingdom of Heaven is really key for every Christian, because my personal faith would be just a nice pastime if it had no impact whatsoever on the future. But the truth is that my personal faith has an impact on myself, because through Christ I get to enjoy eternal life. And it also has an impact on the course of humanity, as more and more people will be able to know Jesus as the loving Savior. So, in many ways, understanding the Kingdom of Heaven, how it works, and how we can rely on its process to achieve real results is very important. Let us look now at how Jesus compares the Kingdom of Heaven to things and situations to help us understand it better. There are mainly three characteristics about the kingdom which stand out from the parables, and that is that the Kingdom of Heaven is firstly ever-growing, secondly ever-transforming, and thirdly it is of immeasurable value. Let me say that again. Firstly, the Kingdom of Heaven is ever-growing, secondly, it is ever-transforming, and thirdly, it is of immeasurable value. Let me break that down for a moment. Why is it ever-growing? Now, to illustrate that the Kingdom of Heaven is ever-growing, Jesus turned to the mustard seed. The mustard was proverbial for its smallness. Yet of all the herb plants, the mustard is the biggest. So in effect, Jesus was saying about the Kingdom of Heaven that though its beginning might look small and irrelevant, we should never underestimate what God can do using a small and humble beginning. When we think about Jesus' 12 disciples, our God's ability to turn humble beginnings into something which turns the world upside down becomes very evident. By any human standard of measuring, the witness of a bunch of people does not seem efficient or even relevant on a worldly scale. Yet we learn that when we factor in the invincible power of Christ, otherwise impossible things really begin to happen. And this is very encouraging, because often we wonder whether our faith really makes a difference. Does it make a difference when I witness to my colleagues at work about how completely I can rely on God to carry me through tough situations? Does it make a difference when I tell my neighbor or a family member that there is hope for them to have eternal life through Christ? And does it make a difference when about 60 people worship here at St. Ursula's Sunday after Sunday? Well, the answer from the parable is more than clear. It does make a huge difference on the world scale. Not because of me or because of you, but because of God, who makes sure that the kingdom of heaven is ever growing. Secondly, I said that the kingdom of heaven is ever transforming. The parable comparing the kingdom of heaven to the yeast mixed with 3 measures of flour tells us that the kingdom of heaven works itself through my whole being. Every bit of myself is transformed to make something new, tasty, and useful. When it comes to bread, we need to let the yeast work its way through the batch for some time to get good results. And in the same way, when people accept Christ as their Savior, they do become saved instantly, but their character and habits don't change immediately. Like we learn through this parable, the transformation into a godly character takes the time and the effort of the kingdom of heaven. So after all, this too is good news, because there is hope for us. Thirdly, I said that the kingdom of heaven is of immeasurable value. Now in one of the parables, Jesus tells us that the kingdom of heaven is a treasure. Why? Why is it a treasure? It is a treasure because it is the only power on earth to make us stand fearless and hopeful even in the face of calamity and death, or of opposition and persecution. And what greater treasure is there than this? If we have that treasure of knowing the kingdom of heaven and the love, grace, and mercy we find in the arms of God, it gives us the power to overcome any situation. Not because it does not hurt, but because we know for sure that God loves us. And therefore, in the parable, the person who finds this treasure sells everything he has to buy and enjoy it, not grudgingly, but joyfully, because he knows that what he gets in exchange for it is more than worth it. This doesn't mean necessarily that we go out and sell everything we have, but it means that if the need arises, it's definitely worth to forsake everything we have in order to be part of the kingdom. You see, the kingdom of heaven requires a wholehearted commitment and devotion in turn for the incredible joy and peace it promises. And the good thing is that our wholehearted devotion and commitment and love is not a one-sided thing. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. It is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. This tells us then that Jesus, the ultimate ruler of this kingdom, places immeasurable value on the citizens of his empire. He sees us as fine pearls of great value, and he too is willing and very happy to search us out. He comes after us, and he would never give up on us. And once he has found us, he is willing to give everything he has in exchange for the right to call us his own. And this is exactly what he did when he gave his own life in exchange for ours. So then, when we put all this together, there is only one conclusion we can make. And that is that we can never ever afford to hit the pause button in our walk of faith. And here is why. Because if we do, we miss out on the opportunity to be part of the kingdom of heaven altogether. King Solomon is one of the greatest examples for this. We heard today in the Old Testament reading how well he started out on his journey of faith. God gave him the opportunity to ask anything he wished for, and Solomon chose to ask for wisdom and discernment to govern God's people. This pleased the Lord so much that he not only gave him wisdom and discernment, but also the things he did not ask for, like wealth and honor. Yet still, the wisdom and discernment did not stop him from making bad choices. Though he had the God-given capacity to discern between good and bad, Solomon did make some very bad choices. We read in the Bible that later on in his life, King Solomon drifted away from God's commands. Not only did he have many wives, but also did he marry many foreign women who worshipped other gods. And then one compromise led to another, and Solomon built temples and altars to these other gods. And he worshipped there together with his wives. And that in turn caused the entire nation of Israel to stumble and fall apart because they too followed the example of their leadership. So really, we can never ever afford to hit the pause button on our journey of faith. So as we come to a close today, I will use the words of St. Paul, who reminds every Christian to keep their faith and hold the course steady. In the words of St. Paul, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Let us pray then that we too, like St. Paul, will be able to say at the end of the day, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me." Amen.